You know, if I ever wanted to catch someone and send them to jail for a long time, I would drug them, I would cut open their arm, I would tattoo child porn on the inside of their arm, and then close it up again. 8 years later, I tell the police, that guy's got child porn, he's been possessing it for 8 years, just look under his arm skin. And they're going to go, oh my God, he does! The perfect crime. Welcome video version listeners to February 8th, 2018. And it is News with Nick. Back from a one-month-ish break because there wasn't enough news or something. We had a big snowstorm last night. That was cool. My plow came and plowed the driveway, right? Everything was fine. And then it snowed a little bit more. And later on, I went inside. Later went outside to check how much it had snowed again. And it was only a little bit. But then I saw this path, right? There were these tracks. And they're all over my driveway. And I'm like, this has never happened before. What's going on? Is there like a bunny? And I start freaking out. I'm like, is there like a roving horde of rodents that lived under the house and they have come out and now they're making tracks? And the more I walked around the house, the more tracks there were. It just went like in a circle, like a dotted line. I'm like inspecting it. I'm like, oh, it's got to be bunny tracks. But no, can't be bunny tracks. And then I'm like, oh, it must be chipmunk traps. It literally circumnavigated the globe. Went around the world and came back to my house. And so I finished roof raking. And then I'm still obsessed with these tracks. I'm like, what is going on? Whatever it is, it must have been here. Right? It must still be out here, maybe. Maybe it's like lost. It crawled out of the house. And then it's trying to find its way back in. And it can't find its way in. That's why it's running all around. So the chat says, you're dumb. It's your own tracks. Who's been here? Actually, previously this week, I really did do that. I compared my boot to like a track I found on my property to make sure no one was on the property. I'm an insane man. And I'm like, whatever it is, maybe it's still out here. Next thing I know, this little mole, it's jumping along on the driveway. I'm like, what are you doing? So I take the shovel and I start trying to bury it in snow. I'm like, die, you stupid mole. And then I actually just shoved it into the highway and I hope it died. Because I'm sure its family lives in my house. Dad just went out to check out the snowstorm, and he never made it back. That's what the baby moles are saying. Oh, my God. You guys watched the Super Bowl? It was pretty bad. Philadelphia Eagles beating the New England Patriots. And then they rioted in the streets. And actually, to be honest, I'm not going to overdo this because it actually seemed like it was way not as bad as they expected. But there's a couple videos here of this guy climbed up a street pole. He's like as high as a street light. It's like imagine you're driving along and you see a street light. And Gavin Williams is in the chat. Thanks. I don't know who that is. Thanks for coming out. You think that's funny about the baby moles? Yes, I do. They deserve. Can't have them living in the house. I'm sorry. So here's a oopsies. Technical difficulties, guys. Oh, and by the way, speaking of technical difficulties, if I do disconnect, I will be back. It's my router. It's garbage. I don't know what's going on with it. So this guy is on the top of a awning, and he's also about to jump into the crowd. He turns around and he falls backwards into the crowd. Like, he could easily smash his head open, but I guess... What's he falling onto? Did they set up a mattress? Because he falls past where the people are standing. You can't even tell. Here's a bunch of other people on an awning. It collapses. It collapses. It folds up. They could easily be crushed altogether. What a bunch of idiots. I can't believe nobody's dead. There's fires in the streets. Well, anyway. So, Philadelphia rioted. Not a big deal. Rob Gronkowski, though, the tight end for the New England Patriots, came back home And he realized that while he was gone, his entire house had been burglarized. And apparently they stole some undisclosed things. Now, the theory is maybe some people went after his guns and they don't want to say that because now we know that there's unregistered guns in the streets. Espresso D says, nobody died, question mark. I don't think anyone did. I could look it up. You guys look it up and let me know. Did anyone die in the Philadelphia riots? And it's very funny. He just makes this phone call to 911. So here it is.
911, line recorded. Where is your emergency?
Hello, this is an emergency. This is Rob Gronkowski calling, and while I was gone, my whole house got robbed while on the Super Bowl trip, and I just got back.
So that's it. Can you imagine being the 911 operator? And you're like, oh, it's Rob Gronkowski.
Hello, this is an emergency. This is Rob Gronkowski calling, and while I was gone, my whole house got robbed while on the Super Bowl trip, and I just got back.
That's all they've released of it. Probably because the 911 operator went, it is not Rob Gronkowski. Ooh, what if, oh no, I was going to just say, like, what if you pretended to be a famous person and you called for help and then they said, where are you? And you said, you know where I am. And then you followed the ambulance just to find out where that person lived. But then that's stupid. They would know where you are. They, like, 911 wouldn't necessarily know where you are, right? Ooh, what if you said, this is Lady Gaga and I'm in big trouble, glug, 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 glug. Right? And then they have to look up Lady Gaga's address. You follow the police cars, find out where Lady Gaga's hanging out. So while I was Googling information on Rob Gronkowski's 911 call, I happened upon this old TV show that I want to talk about for a moment. It was called, it's like the scariest show you could ever imagine. And it aired from 1989 to 1995, and it's called Rescue 911. And if you have not seen this, I just realized almost all of the episodes are on YouTube and they're only 10 minutes long, right? No one's got time for 22-minute episodes. 10-minute episodes, though, that is where it's at. And so this is a show that basically they reenact very dramatically all these freak accidents that put people in very life or death situations. And then it's very scary because it's like, well, I was just walking along and all of a sudden my foot went down into a sinkhole and a giant monster started eating me. And it's basically just a show that as a kid I just watched and went, oh, anything can kill me at all times. So here's a good one.
Okay, come on in.
Paul, okay. One of my students had a canteen that had been given to him as a gift.
And the most anxiety-inducing part of this show is it always starts all happy with this music. And always something innocent is happening. Oh, my kid, Paul, has a canteen. And you're thinking, what the heck could someone kill themselves with a canteen?
He filled it up with water and went and sat down with his friends.
All right, I'm going to skip ahead a couple seconds.
They were all pretty thirsty, and...
First of all, they're passing around a canteen and all drinking out of it. These kids are gay. They might as well be kissing. But they're passing around the same canteen and putting their little boy lips on it and sucking liquid out of it. Ugh.
First, I took a drink, and then Carlton took a drink, and then Paul took a drink.
Let's all go around the table and talk about who took a drink. Jesus.
And he was the one with bad luck.
He's holding the canteen up to his mouth like he took a drink, but he's not taking it down off of his face.
What's wrong? At first, I couldn't understand what he was saying. The third time, I figured it out.
Mrs. Dickens. Yeah, John. Paul's got his tongue stuck in the canteen.
Paul's got his tongue stuck in the canteen. So now the teacher has to come over.
Let me see. Just relax.
I looked in and it seemed to be that the threads had a hole right on the tongue.
So anyway, this is actually one of the tame ones, obviously. This kid was never at risk of losing his life. It must have been a slow rescue 911 week. So they finally get the canteen off, and then they do an interview with the kid at the end.
They promised me that they would get that canteen off, but I was afraid that I have to keep it on my tongue for the rest of my life.
Okay, Paul.
Oh, man. Hey, what's this kid's what's this kid's disability? Oh, we call him canteen tongue. When he was in third grade, he was drinking out of a canteen and it got stuck. And now he's just canteen tongue. We have to feed him intravenously only. Or we've hooked up the canteen to a slushy machine. So anyway, yeah. Just check these out if you want to be completely traumatized and scared to even go outside. The other one I saw earlier was like a guy's driving along, and the next moment he crashes into an asphalt truck, and not only does he crash and the asphalt truck spins out, but the asphalt starts pouring into the car, burying his legs in burning molten asphalt. So that's pretty cool. You guys heard about the Hawaii incident, obviously, where someone sent out a text and it said, "Live alert! This is not a drill! Hawaii is under siege from North Korea! It is skinny Kim Jong-un coming after us!" Get it? Call back to skinny Kim Jong-un? Hawaii man who sent alert says he was 100% sure the attack was real. A former Hawaii state worker who sent a false missile alert last month said Friday he's devastated for causing panic, but he said he was 100% sure at the time the attack was real. He says the on-duty call he received on January 13th didn't sound like a drill, although state officials say other workers clearly heard the word exercise repeated several times. "I don't think they're prepared for missile notifications," he said. So he's bad-mouthing the department, right? "I think the military should handle that, but the point is, no, we weren't ready, and we could have been trained more." So he's just a state worker. What was that? God damn it. If we start having sound issues, I assume it's the ghosts of Rescue 911 coming after me. "No, we weren't ready, and we could have been trained more. It's just a big failure of the system." The man in his 50s spoke to reporters on the condition that he not be identified because he fears for his safety after receiving threats. The state's internal report on the false missile alert released Tuesday said that a drill started as previous ones had. A recorded Pacific Command message was played over a loudspeaker at the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, so otherwise known as FEMA, but it's HEMA, right? That began, "Exercise, exercise, exercise." Now the level one joke is, oh, it's 1984 when Big Brother goes on the TV and tells you to do your squats. Then he warned of an incoming ballistic missile and said, "This is not a drill." And then the drill ended with "exercise, exercise, exercise." In its own report, the FCC said the employee sent out the false alert heard, "This is not a drill," but didn't hear "exercise." "I was convinced that it was real." Now, previously, they'd blamed like bad UI, like that there was a button next to another button, and like the drill was here. And the real one was right under it, and like a pop-up ad came up, so it was hard to tell which was which, or like, you know, on your phone, you're about to click something, but an ad loads, and you click the wrong thing, or you click the ad. That's what it was, probably. But that's what they were blaming at first, and now they're saying, no, the guy knew, or he thought it was not a drill, so he clicked the missile threat. He called that the emergency management agency's state warning point chaotic in the seconds after the drill started, minutes after a shift change. "I was 100% sure that it was real." The ex-worker said it felt like he had been hit with a body blow when he realized it was just a drill, and he had difficulty eating and sleeping since. The HEMA fired him. He described his life as utter hell since sending the alert. The man's superior said they knew for years that he had problems performing his job. They put the guy who has problems performing his job in charge of pushing the button that sends everyone into a panic. Problems performing his job. The worker had mistakenly believed drills for tsunami and fire warnings were actual events. He's done it before! His colleagues were not comfortable working with him, the state said. Oh, man, he's like one of those Dumbos. But they're like, he works for the state, so we can't fire him. He's a part of the union. He's part of the emergency button pusher union. His supervisors counseled him, but kept him for a decade in a position that had to be renewed each year. The ex-worker disputed this, saying he wasn't aware of any performance problems. Ew, oh boy. So they're throwing him under the bus big time. Which is stupid. Like, that just makes you look dumb. You had a person you already knew was dumb at the helm of the button pushing? That's your fault. It took nearly 40 minutes for the agency to figure out a way to retract the false alert on the same platforms it was sent to. Right. So you've got an alert on your phone. They've got all these buttons that say flood alert, tsunami, right? Hurricane, missile. Those are the buttons. They never thought to make a button that says, oh, send an alert that cancels the other alert. So they had to run to the programmers and go, hello, programmers? Can you really quick make a thing? Sage says, are colleagues comfortable working with you? China says, there's too many tabs in the emergency management system. Protocols were not in place. It was a sense of urgency to put in place as soon as possible, but those protocols were not developed to the point that they should have. So yeah, we need to warn everyone that there's no problem, but we don't have any way to do it. I would have just started sending all of the other alerts, right? That's the best, like, okay, missile alert, and then we go, oh, missile, flood alert, hurricane alert, send every alert. And then people are going to be like, oh, it's the system's just bugging out. There's no missile, there's no hurricane, there's no flood. See, I'm a genius. I would have pressed all the buttons at once. Like, you're already getting fired. Might as well just push them all. Actually, maybe you would have been rehired. You're a genius. You saved everyone, right? Because no one's going to take them all serious. What, is it the end of the world? Every single thing is happening at once? I don't think so. Obviously, it's a mistake. So that would have been the solution. All right. Elon Musk's heavy rocket has launched successfully. This was big news a couple days ago. I love Elon Musk. I love Tesla. I can't wait to buy one. They are the best company on Earth, and I wish that I were riding Elon Musk's rocket right now, if you know what I mean. The mammoth vehicle, the most powerful since the shuttle system, lifted clear of its pad without incident to soar high over the Atlantic Ocean. It was billed as a risky test flight in advance of the liftoff. The SpaceX CEO said the challenges of developing the new rocket meant the chances of a successful first outing were 50-50. Espresso D says they should have the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse button. That's a good point. We see them on the hill. What about the White Walker button? Everyone just write in with funny buttons you'd put on the HEMA thing. So obviously everyone saw this launch. I don't know if you paid much attention to it or looked it up. So apparently Elon Musk has made a rocket, and the reason it's valuable is not that it's just he's launching a rocket. It can carry more stuff than any other rocket previously could. Now, I'm a complete idiot, and I never even considered that there was a weight limit to a rocket, right? You just think, oh, rocket? That can carry anything. You could strap a rocket to the moon and push it out of orbit, right? But no, apparently you cannot. Apparently there's a limit to these things. And the reason that Elon Musk's is so good is that then you can make a bigger satellite and push that up into space or something. But they didn't want to test it on a real satellite, so they tested it on Elon Musk's car. And now, as stupid as this story kind of is, this is amazing. Like this video here where the car is rotating and the entire Earth is coming into view. First of all, I can't believe the Earth is a triangle. Like, who expected that? But other than that, amazing, right? That's pretty cool. We're not going to dwell on it too long. But look, it's a guy in a car in a convertible in space, and he's looking at Earth. I mean, he's not a real guy. He's a dummy. If he was a real guy, he's a dummy now. Gavin, we know. That's not a problem. We know. And the other thing is the
burn has started.
Whoops. So the two rocket boosters that boosted the sides of the thing came back to Earth. And when SpaceX was first trying to do this thing where they land the reusable rockets back, people are like, that's impossible. You can't re-land a rocket back on Earth. And he said, not only am I going to re-land a rocket back on Earth, I'm going to land two of them like synchronized swimmers landing back on Earth. And so here's the video. Well, that cut off a little bit quicker than I expected. But anyway, the two rockets do come back down, and they land simultaneously, and the crowd goes wild. And the last one was lost, as we all know. Did not make it. Two-thirds success, I suppose. Speaking of flying through the air, this is a big story today. Spirit Airlines employee told student to flush emotional support hamster down the toilet. A college student said she flushed her emotional support hamster down the toilet after Spirit Airlines refused to let her bring her furry pet on the plane. Why would you flush it down the toilet? Why wouldn't you just let it run outside in my driveway? Belen Aldiscoca, 21, of Miami Beach, Florida, told the Miami Herald that she contacted Spirit Airlines before her flight from Baltimore to South Florida regarding traveling with her dwarf hamster, Pebbles. Aldiscoca claimed the airline told her it was not a problem to bring her hamster on the flight. However, when the student arrived at the airport, she said the airline refused to let Pebbles on the plane. This is like saying, this airline wouldn't let me bring my Z-Quil or my Dayquil or whatever in, so I had to drink the entire bottle before I got on. I couldn't believe it. She said she didn't have many options since her family was in Florida and her friends were hours away. The student claimed a Spirit employee suggested that she either flush Pebbles down the toilet or let the animal free. What? She skipped her flight and tried to rent a car instead, but said she was too young to rent one, so she did what she felt was the most humane choice. She was scared. I was scared. It was horrifying trying to put her in the toilet. I was emotional. I was crying. I sat there for a good 10 minutes crying in the stall. This isn't real. She's making this up. Right? The student said she considered, I need to have someone who's met Pebbles, like, go on the docket and be like, nah, Pebbles is real, and now he's in the toilet. The student said she considered letting Pebbles free outside, but could not bear thinking the hamster would freeze to death or getting hit. I didn't have any other options. In a statement, PETA Senior Vice President Daft said one phone call could have saved this animal, or some kind of person at the airport could have helped. Flushing a living being down the toilet is not only cruel but also illegal. Someone contact PETA and tell them what I did to the mole last night. A man chased a mole with a snowy shovel into a highway hoping it would freeze to death. They're gonna be mad. Wow. And then I flushed a ton of moles down the toilet. After researching this incident, we can say confidently that at no point did any of our agents suggest that this guest should flush or otherwise injure an animal. It is incredibly disheartening to hear this guest reportedly decided to end her own pet's life. Oh, God. The Miami Herald noted that the U.S. Transportation Safety Administration was fine with the hamsters on the flight, but airlines are allowed to choose if they want rodents on board. Can you imagine, though? Like, it just got free and it just started running around. And then it had babies. And then we've got hamsters on a snake. Can't have that. This wasn't a giant peacock that could pose a danger to other passengers. Remember the peacock? There was a tiny, cute hamster, harmless hamster, that could fit in the palm of her hand or in her mouth. You should put on some high heels and stomp on moles. Big market for that. Nah, I don't want to ruin my high heels. All right, so here we have... Uh-oh. Oh, dear. Hang on. I'm out of order here. Larry Nassar apologizes. He gets 40 to 100 years for decades of sexual abuse. You guys heard this, of course. This was the doctor from the U.S. gymnasts team. He was sentenced to 40 to 125 years in prison, ending a remarkable 3 weeks of court hearings that dramatically personalized the pain and suffering the former doctor caused for years. So here is his... actually, before that, we had a video of... The girls all go up and say, hey, you did this horrible thing to me, and you deserve to go to jail forever, right? It was the doctor accused of molesting some gymnasts while they visited him for treatment. Now, however, this girl gives him the worst insult you could ever give a man, right?
You made me uncomfortable, and I thought you were weird. But I felt guilty because you were a doctor.
I thought you were weird. Man, if I was ever in court, when I'm in court, I'd rather be sentenced to 185 years in prison than anyone saying I was weird.
So I assumed I was the problem for thinking badly of you. I wouldn't allow myself to believe that the problem is you. From the time we were little, we are taught to trust doctors. You are so sick, I can't even comprehend how angry I feel when I think of you. You lied to me and manipulated me to think that when you treated me, you were closing your eyes because you had been working hard when you were really touching me, an innocent child.
Oh, gross. So he's looking up at, she's looking up at him and he's like, like Yoda.
To pleasure yourself. Imagine feeling like you have no power and no voice. Well, you know what, Larry? I have both power and voice, and I am only beginning to just use them. All these brave women have power, and we will use our voices to make sure you get what you deserve. A life of suffering spent replaying the words delivered by this powerful army of survivors.
All right, so she's mad. She spoke for a long time. He was, and he's allowed to read his own statement. So.
The words expressed by everyone that has spoken, including the parents, have impacted me to my innermost core. With that being said, I understand and acknowledge that it pales in comparison to the pain, trauma, and emotions that you are feeling. It's impossible to convey the depth and breadth of how sorry I am to each and every one involved. The visions of your testimonies will forever be present in my thoughts.
Well, that was a real apology, right? We should let him off light. What if he went like this?
He's got his paper. It's like, unfold.
Worth it. That would make him real mad. So anyway, yeah, he's going to jail for a long time, and then there's a whole bunch of new ones coming out. A volunteer gymnastics coach in Missouri is accused of inappropriately touching three young female gymnasts, and police are concerned there are more victims. David Schneider, 41, of Washington, Missouri, was charged Tuesday with three counts of child molestation. The children alleged that Schneider touched their genitals. If your name is Schneider, by the way, you might be in the tinker. Touched their genitals while working with them as they practiced doing splits at the Kids in Motion gym. Oh, no. Why? This can't be real. I always think nothing's real. Kids in Motion gym in Washington. Authorities said the crimes occurred between 2011 and 2014 when the victims were 7 and 8. That's 4 years ago at the minimum, 7 years ago at the highest. Right? So what are they saying? They're like, oh, by the hey, police. Yeah, one time I was doing a split and Schneider like was helping me split and I think he brushed against me. Like, I want to know. I don't know. Right? Like, how do you, A, how do you prove that? B, it's a long time ago. Schneider, a married, and then he gets arrested just for that? Schneider, a married father, is jailed on $100,000 bond. I'm not saying he should have done it. I'm just saying, like, how do they know? Like, how do you put him in jail just for a person saying that? Like, could anyone just call in and say that? Parents of three additional girls have already contacted police alleging similar crimes, and it's possible the number of victims could grow. At this point, we haven't even begun returning phone calls from concerned parents. It wasn't clear if the victim's decision to come forward was spurred by publicity surrounding Larry Nassar. Blah, blah, blah. It's a probable cause. In a probable cause statement, police said Schneider admitted. Oh, hang on. I should always read the whole article. Schneider admitted to inappropriate touching but claimed his hand slipped because the girls were sweaty. He also said he didn't change his technique despite the repeated slippage of hands. One of the girls said she thought the touching was weird at the time but didn't realize it was wrong until recently. That girl, now in middle school, told an adult at the school on January 9th, leading to the investigation. How do you start that convo? Hello? I would like to say something. One time I was sweaty and my gymnastics coach slipped. I don't know. Kids in Motion owner Piper Homan posted on the gym's website that she feels deep sorrow for the victims. So, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I guess it must have been a problem. He admitted it, right? He must have remembered it from 4 years ago. Like, if it was normal, like, in every, like, if it was just something that happened once, he was like, whoops. Right? Like, haven't you ever, like, been playing tag, let's say, in gym? This is a hypothetical. This has never happened to me. But say you're playing tag in gym class, and you're like, I gotta grab this person, this girl, and I go, right? And you're like, whoops. Like, I could have been arrested. Hypothetical me could have been arrested for that. He purposely did it. He clearly could have tagged my skinny, skinny waist. No. I couldn't reach it. So after the sentencing, this guy comes out. This is the dad of one of the girls. And he's doing a speech to the judge. I don't know how he gets to talk. I'm not really sure. Maybe he raised his hand or something. And they're like, what? But anyway, here's the video.
Sentencing. to grant me 5 minutes in a locked room with this demon. Would you do that?
That is not.
Yes or no?
No, sir.
Would you give me 1 minute?
Now, if you're watching this video, you can actually see the girl in the background is going, stop. Dad, stop. Stop it. He's mad, and he looks exactly like that guy in Orange is the New Black, the sad counselor that sits in the office going, yes, ladies, come in and be my friend.
Yes or no?
No, sir.
Would you give me 1 minute?
You know that I can't do that. That's not how I was.
Well, I'm going to have to get something.
He rushes from his seat. He rushes toward the that fence, right, that you got to jump over to get there. He just keeps saying, I want that son of a bitch. And by the way, live listeners, I am sorry about the difference in audio between the videos and me talking. In the edited version, it does get fixed, but it's probably not so good for the live stream. Sorry. There's three guys on him, just holding him down, and he keeps going, I want that son of a bitch. Gimme him. Gimme him.
I don't.
Give me 1 minute with that fast food.
I like how he's not fighting anymore, but he still wants to yell stuff. Now one of the cops is essentially whispering in his ear, like, I know, we all want to kill him, but we can't. At least not yet. Let the blacks in the prison get him.
Okay.
All right, so they let him up, and he walks out. That was pretty good. Sage in the chat says, he looks sweaty. Hopefully no one's hands slip. Wow. Goodness. Yeah, well. Speaking of judges, Texas judge said God called on him to interrupt jury deliberations in a sex trafficking case in order to attempt to sway jurors. Judge Jack Robison said it was God who told him to try to get jurors to return a not guilty verdict for a Buddha woman who was accused. Buddha, not Buddha as in, like, Hindu Buddha. But it seems like Buddha, like she's from a place. Because it's only got one D. A woman he was accused of trafficking her teenage niece. When God tells me I got to do something, I got to do it, he said to the jurors in defense of his actions. Despite the request, jurors found Gloria Romero Perez guilty of continuous trafficking of a person. He made headline. Oh, sorry. The defendant's attorney requested a mistrial, but it was denied. The judge had Bayless arrest. Sorry. And they were going back to another story. This is the worst website. Shouldn't have turned ad blocker off. Well, that was a good story. Sorry, that actually fell flat. There was no video of it, is the problem. But the judge said, hey, God told me this person is not guilty, and they went for it anyway. A group of Kelly Wash wrestlers waterboarded their teammate in a school locker room, sources say. Huh? Betcha he was sweaty. A group of Kelly Wash high school wrestlers allegedly held down and waterboarded a freshman teammate earlier this month in the school's locker room, according to two people close to the victim's family. On January 3rd, the victim was at practice at high school. He was being teased by other members of the team, the sources told the news, and he responded by winking at them. Oh no, they thought he was gay, and he was like, hello, I am. Want to sit on Tesla's rocket. One of the older wrestlers gathered some other athletes. They went, psst, 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 psst. They decided they would grab the victim in the locker room after practice. Knowing that the wrestlers were waiting for him, the victim didn't want to go to the locker room. One of his friends offered to walk in and grab his things for him, but when the friend entered the locker room, the waiting upperclassman refused to let him take the victim's belongings. They told him that they would hurt him too. Oh, no. Man. The victim walked into the room, and at least three wrestlers grabbed him. Though he tried to escape, the attackers yanked him back, and they threw him on a bench. One kid held his legs, two others held his arms, and they put a towel over his head. One kid said, less pits in his mouth. That escalated quickly. It's like, okay, let's... what if everyone just looked at that last guy and was like, what are you talking about? let's piss in his mouth. The victim struggled harder, and the towel fell off, the sources said. Then the attackers began put it back over his face and began pouring water over the victim's mouth and nose. The victim began to choke. They let him sit up. They rubbed a cream on him, typically used by wrestlers after a match to protect against skin infection, though the source was unsure why. The victim stood up and walked into the showers to wash it off. Is that the story? No coaches were present in the locker room during the attack. One walked in as the victim was in the showers, covered in cream. I added that part. Getting sexy. I'm covered in cream in the shower. Oh. Hey, coach. Didn't see you there. Yeah, all the boys were teasing me, and now I'm just covered in cream. Do you know of any way of comforting me? Check out my site, lockerroomtales.cream.info.nick. One walked in as the victim was in the showers. After he left, the attackers warned the victim that if he told anyone, they would waterboard him again. The Star Tribune granted anonymity to the two sources who requested their identity be kept secret. So anyway, apparently no one witnessed it, right? Except for the victim, and I guess the victim's friend wasn't even in there. Waterboarding is an interrogation, blah, blah, blah. Next story, no charges in Kelly Walsh incident. The prosecutor disputes waterboarding description, but the family holds firm. So now it's a, now it's an argument. And by the way, they used the same stock photo on both things. Thanks for that info, Puke. That was really helpful to the listeners. The prosecutor will not file charges related to the recent incident of bullying, saying it was inappropriate hazing rather than actual waterboarding. Well, they didn't pedal board him, right? If that one kid wanted to pedal board him. He's the gay one, by the way, right? Man, who... So that would have been like, okay, all if they had that one kid's plan, they all would have been around him with their earthworms out, pedalboarding him. That's gay. Whatever. A Natronia County School District spokeswoman acknowledged officials had investigated an incident of extreme bullying but did not offer any details, including what school it occurred at. Oh, weird. District Attorney Michael blah, 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 said was the first official to offer a detailed account. He said the actions did not amount to waterboarding. He said the victim, who was a member of the Kelly Walsh wrestling team, told police that when he walked into the locker room after practice, he heard some teammates say that they should waterboard him. The victim struggled while at least three wrestlers pinned him down. So now, again, we already read this, but we're reading it from like the updated story. Put a towel over his face and talked about urinating in his mouth. The wrestlers then dribbled water on his face. The victim then pulled off the towel they had placed on his face, and after seeing it was not urine, voluntarily laid down again. Hey, that wasn't pee. I want the real thing. Voluntarily laid down again, he then placed the towel back onto his own face before others poured water onto his face for 5 seconds. Huh? He didn't really have any idea why the victim allegedly acquiesced to the second part. He certainly didn't welcome this, but, you know, when you're a skinny gay boy and you want the acceptance of the other wrestlers, you might do what they say, like, lay down, we're going to pour this on your face. Or, like, if they're like, lay down or we're going to hold you down again, you'd probably just lay down, right? I've been waterboarded several thousand times, so I know how this goes. The victim maintained that he struggled and he was scared throughout. He tried to climb over the lockers. It took several wrestlers to hold his arms. I've been held down and stuff. And I've had to, like, fight off three different people simultaneously, and they still almost got me. But, whatever. They were trying to... Never mind. Story for another time. cool. So that happened. Very exciting story. Let's see what the chat says. Let me have 1 minute button. The three sweaty wrestlers button. I'll try waterboarding again. I'd try waterboarding again. Espresso D, have you been waterboarded? How was it? This is from the Columbine style section of the show, where we report to you who's been going Columbine style in the country. According to police, a 15-year-old and two 14-year-olds are being held at the Split Mountain Youth Detention Center after an incident Thursday that led to a lockdown. At two Dushnes, Dutch Esne schools? I don't even know where this is. Around 1:40 p.m. Thursday, a group of students told the high school principal that an attack was about to take place similar to the 1999 massacre at Columbine High School. I never get tired of this. The students provided Young with three names of students involved in planning the attack. They happen to be wrestlers. Weird. No. So three people come in to the principal and they go, oh, man. According to the sheriff's office, the principal described the reporting students as obviously stressed. It immediately put the school on lockdown and called central dispatch to report the threat. The elementary school was also placed on lockdown as a precaution. See if this video has any info. There is no sound. Because it's a GIF. Wow. Been faked out yet again by that old guy GIF. Police say the first deputies reached the high school in less than 2 minutes, and they were led to a classroom on the east end of the building's first floor. There, they took one teenage boy into custody at gunpoint. At gunpoint! So three people went to the principal's office and say, hey, this kid's about to shoot up the school, Columbine style. What do you think of that? They literally swatted him in his own school. Additional officers searched the campus for other threats and found nothing alarming, according to the press release. Information developed during the search that led investigators to detain two other teenage boys, who were later arrested as well. Because of how young the teens are, their ages and names are not being released by police. They found one small knife each on two of the teens. Oh no. And found one hand-drawn diagram of how to build an explosive device with plans for building an improvised firearm. Okay, that's a little more extreme, but still. The school was searched by the county sheriff's canine, is trained to detect explosives, and no firearms or explosives were found. Detectives interviewed the three teens separately, and the boys were cooperative, but they said they did not think it was a big deal, which it's not! While discussing the plan with investigators, one teen said he was supposed to be the shooter and the other two teens were the bombers. The boys also told detectives that they had been bullied in the past. Search warrants were executed Thursday night in the boys' bedrooms. Blah, blah, blah. They collected everything. So you got three kids. They're going, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we shot up the school? Let's draw some plans for fun. This is probably what they do D&D style. Like they go home, instead of playing D&D, they go, instead of D&D, they play Eric and Dylan, right? And they roll their die, and they're like, I advance to the library. What do I get? Oh, I got a two. Okay, two means that the cops came in and shot you. You didn't survive the shooting. 20 means that you busted through the door and you shat Cassie Bernal right in her face. Shat Cassie Bernal. God damn it. Sometimes I want to go back and retake the bit to make it sound better. Does opening my mouth up once underwater count as waterboarding? Espresso D says, I haven't, but if I had 1 minute of waterboarding, I'd try some more. Waterboarding sounds like a great sport. That's a joke. That's been played, right? Oh, it's like wakeboarding. So anyway, these three kids did nothing wrong. They were just playing Eric and Dylan with their dice at home, just talking about school. They had no physical devices. Like, you can draw stuff, I feel like. Like, hey, my other room's got a wall full of stuff and people I'm going to shoot up. But I have no guns, so you can't prove it. Whatever. The Marshall County High School shooting occurred in Marshall County High School in Benton, Kentucky on January 23, 2018. Students were gathered in an open area prior to the start of classes. A 15-year-old student opened fire with a handgun, killing one 15-year-old at the scene and wounding another who died in a nearby hospital. 18 others were injured, 14 by bullets and 3 critically. Bailey Nicole Holt and Preston Ryan Cope, 15 years old, were killed, blah, 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 blah. Here's a timeline of the event. So this is a shooting that happened a couple weeks ago. 7:57 a.m., a 15-year-old male student entered the school with a handgun and opened fire. 7:59 a.m., first 911 call received. 8:06 a.m., first responders arrived at the school. The suspect, a 15-year-old male, was later arrested. That's all the info I can find on this. 20 people total are getting or have received medical treatment. Of the 20, 16 had gunshot wounds and 5 had other related injury. Wait a minute. Of the 20, 16 had gunshot wounds and 5 had other related injuries. So one person was the oddball. Like, I got shot and I have another injury. Damn it. Troopers say if you have any information about the shooting but have not spoken with police, call this number. Should we call them and be like, what? There's almost no info. A kid walked into a school, shot 16 people with a handgun. A handgun does not hold 16 bullets. That means he reloaded. And there's almost no information about the timeline or how this went down. This is the weirdest non-story I've seen in a long time regarding a shooting. If anyone has info, please send it in, because I looked everywhere. I can't find what happened. It's been 2 weeks. He didn't just walk in and just start shooting and then reload and then keep shooting. I guess maybe he did. But why is there like no in? Why are there no witness account? Why is there nobody that said, oh yeah, he ran in, he started shooting. And then I was like hiding under my desk and I hid behind the law. I hid behind the vending machine. Like, it's so weird. Is this a fake news? Is this like a false flag? So confused. Chat says, first day of senior year, someone called in a bomb threat. The kid was arrested. They found his phone in the bathroom trash. Yeah, our biggest bomb threat was someone wrote on the bathroom stall, the school is going to blow up. And they said, oh my God, a bomb threat. And they locked everyone down and we searched the entire school. We had to sit in the auditorium. We got let out early. And that just taught kids that the administration overreacted. So now everyone just started writing, the school's going to blow up. And almost nothing ever happened after that, because they were like, oh yeah, that was stupid of us. So I don't know. I'm really confused. I've looked up the guy's name. I've looked up the people who have been killed. And I'm not able to find too many like witness accounts of this kid walking into a school and shooting 16 people. I'm a bad news person, I guess. Two 12-year-olds accused of cyber-stalking in girls' suicide. Police in Panama City Beach, Florida, announced in a news release Monday that the preteens were arrested in connection to a January 10th death of a 12-year-old Gabriella Green. Police have withheld the suspect's name because they are minors. The 12-year-old student allegedly hung herself with a dog leash in a closet at her home in the Glades after receiving harassing messages. During their investigation, police learned that she had been cyberbullied. After analyzing several phone calls and social media accounts, they zeroed in on two classmates and interviewed them with their parents' permission. The release states, during the interview, both children confessed to engaging in conduct which was directed at Ms. Green, knowing that said conduct would result in emotional distress. The release states that the investigation did not reveal that cyberbullying was the sole cause for her death. The investigation only revealed that cyberbullying was transpiring at the time of her death. One of the suspects told an investigator that she had started rumors about Green in person and online, The police report states, The other suspect told police he video chatted with Green after she told him she tried to hang herself and she had marks on her neck. Oh, no. What's it called? Cyberbullying. I guess, you know, because you're not doing it in person, like cyber sexing. Oh, yeah. Hang it. Sorry. The second suspect allegedly responded by saying something to the effect of, if you're going to do it, just do it, and ended the call. So they were Skyping. She was like, I'm very sad. Wait, why would you Skype with your cyberbully? It's weird. Hey, I'm so sad. I got to Skype with my cyberbully. And then you're like, Mom, my cyberbully tried to tell me to kill myself. And she's like, if they tell you that, they're not your real friends. Please don't Skype with them. Okay. Suspect responded, if you're going to do it, just do it. He immediately regretted the statement and began calling and text messaging her, but did not receive a response. The official cause of death has not yet been released by the medical examiner's office. But they didn't say that she hung herself like right after the Skype call. It's not like, oh, okay, maybe that happened, but they don't say that. Tanya Green, Gabriella's mother, said the arrests were gratifying, but that her daughter had to suffer in silence with a smile on her face. In a Facebook post, the mom wrote that her daughter brightened up every single aspect of it. Blah, 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 blah. Man. Well, I don't know. Sorry. Here's a minor bullying case. It got a lot of national attention for no reason.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Carrie Sharp.
And I'm Rory Johnston. In an instant, one high school prank put a local teen in the spotlight after those pictures and video went viral on social media.
News Channel 5's Jonquil Newland spoke with the victim and shows us how she is turning this into a powerful move.
This is so stupid. There is no news anymore. a thousand things that happened to me in high school would have been national news if we had social media. This is all that happened.
Hopefully stop bullying.
We gotta skip ahead here. All that happened was someone walked down the hall.
Awful.
And grabbed this girl's wig because she has a disease, probably that can't, and can't grow any hair, right?
She was comforting a friend in the hallway when
this guy just runs by, yanks off my wig, and keeps running, like throws it somewhere.
The incident was recorded by another student and posted on social media. The wig was glued and pinned to Lauren's scalp. She was left with chunks of her hair missing, but the pain was much more than physical. She says she was tormented by a student with a camera as she tried to hide in the bathroom.
She followed me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little bit much. But still, I'm saying, like, okay, there's a video of someone getting their wig pulled off, and that's national. We had a kid shoot himself in the face with a shotgun a couple of years ago in the next town over.
In there was laughing, videotaping over the stall.
I was so angry.
Lauren's mom, Michael.
They all got together and just planned to humiliate her, and that was funny to them. And to me, it's not funny. It's not a joke.
No, it's not. It's stupid. It's level one. Oh, make fun of the girl with a wig? That's stupid. But it's not news. Whatever. Snake owner killed by his pet python. This is actually something that happened a while ago, but I guess the coroner's report just came out. Daniel Brandon died from asphyxiation at his home near Bangingstoke, Hampshire. Not here. On August 25th, the coroner said that there's no doubt that Mr. Brandon died as a result of contact with Tiny, which was his snake. Mr. Brandon had kept snakes for 16 years, and Tiny was one of 10 snakes and 12 tarantulas he kept in his room at the family home. His mother said that her son had owned Tiny since it was small enough to fit in his hand. He never threatened. He never felt threatened by Tiny and was aware of how strong it was, but there were occasions when it would strike out if she entered the room. So he's got this snake, and it just slithers around him and chokes him. Now, a python chokes things, right? And I assume a boa constrictor chokes things because it's called a constrictor. When I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, every snake, if you see a snake, it will just wrap itself around you and choke you. I thought that's what every snake did. Then again, who's ever seen a giant snake unless you're in the zoo? Right? Oh boy, I am getting exhausted. What are you guys talking about? Attack of the Cyberbullying Button? Whatever. Steve Wynn, he's also in the news. Let's see what this video has to say.
Empire is going to be forming a special committee in order to investigate these allegations. It's not quite clear whether or not that's going to yield any sort of results like the victims are looking for.
For the women who worked for casino mogul Steve Wynn, it was a roll of the dice whether they would be sexually harassed when they were summoned to his private office. Get it? Roll of the Eric and Dylan dice. For decades, the man, legendary Las Vegas businessman used his power over their livelihoods to pressure the manicurists and massage therapists for sex. What? The Asians? Why? Former employees said their awareness of Mr. Wynn's power at Las Vegas combined with a knowledge that the jobs they held were among the best paying available there added up to the feeling of dependence and intimidation when Mr. Wynn made requests of them. Some said the feeling was heightened at times by the presence in a confined office space of one or more of his German shepherds trained to respond to commands in German. How ironic. Wynn, a prolific donor to the Republican Party, which Donald Trump called a great friend, of course. Oh, it's a Trump. It's an anti-Trump article. Who knew? The idea that I ever assaulted any woman is preposterous, he said in a statement provided to NBC News. We find ourselves in a world where people can make allegations regardless of the truth, and a person is left with the choice of weathering insulting publicity or engaging in multi-year lawsuits. In a separate statement, the Wynn Resort said the company requires all workers to undergo anti-harassment training and has a hotline that any employee can use anonymously without fear of retaliation. Okay, so let's see. Is there any information? One alleged incident, the paper cited, which involves a married manicurist who Wynn forced her to have sex with him not long after he opened his flagship Wynn Las Vegas casino in 2005. Was referenced in broad terms in the lawsuit. He later paid the manicurist a $7.5 million settlement. A former Wynn massage therapist told the paper her boss insisted she masturbate him during their hour-long sessions and that afterward he would hand her $1,000 in cash, which was the same amount as before the sexual activity began. Oh, so she didn't even get an extra tip, right? No. Wynn also allegedly would wear extremely small shorts that exposed his genitals when he got pedicures. What? And subjected women to lewd and suggestive banter, according to the paper. So he'd cut his shorts super loose and be like, oh, man. He'd sit down and his python would come out and start strangling everyone because his shorts were so short. Wynn, 76, blah, blah, blah. All right. So he denied it. This week, Steve Wynn resigns from company amid sexual misconduct allegations. Steve Wynn has resigned on Tuesday. In a statement, he said he was stepping down because an avalanche of negative publicity had created an environment in which a rush to judgment takes precedence over everything else, including facts. So sure. So either he did it or he didn't do it, but still, you would have to step down. I'm sure he did it. Who would make that up? He wore shorts. Who would even think to make that up? He wore shorts so short that his python came out while I was giving him a manicure. No one would even think that that's true. So it has to be true. 911 passengers recall horrors of Amtrak crash. So we had another Amtrak crash. We are coming toward the end of the show, by the way. So if chat has any news stories they want to hook up, we are coming up on an hour. And we're going to finish off a couple other stories. Passengers on a train that slammed into an empty freight train over the weekend in South Carolina, killing two Amtrak employees, described a smoky, bloody scene in 911 calls released to the news media. There's babies with their heads busted wide open, bleeding, one woman said to a dispatcher in a call released Tuesday. Is that how you get someone out to your scene really quick? Sir, McDonald's getting your order wrong is not an emergency. Oh, yeah? Well, how about there's babies with their heads busted open? Okay, we're on our way. Just kidding, there's not. I just need a burger. Everybody flew to the front of the train. Everything is everywhere. In another call, a man described seeing smoke inside the car. If you're in a crash, right, do you go, oh, I better call 911, like a train crash. Oh, I better call 911. Probably nobody else is. I think all call 911. Why would you call 911? We know about the train crash, you idiot. No, stop calling. But then again, what if everyone thinks that and no one calls? I guess the train conductor has to call. Remember the other one? We were going too fast and we ended up on the ground. In another call, a man described seeing smoke inside the cars and a lot of people hurt. An Amtrak employee asks dispatchers to send plenty of help for the injured. In interviews with the Associated Press, passengers have described seats ripped from their rows and luggage strewn about the passenger compartments after the crash. In South Carolina, the conductor and engineer aboard the New York to Miami Amtrak train were killed. Oh, dear. I guess they couldn't call 911. Were killed when the train slammed into the CSX Corp freight train parked on the side of the track. More than 100 passengers were treated at hospitals for injuries. We're on the train, but some of us have chest pains, another man told the dispatcher. We need some help. I've got to sit down. I can't breathe. Well, go outside to sit down. You're on the crash train. Investigators said that the railway signals were not working at the time of the crash. They were turned off while crews installed a safety system that could have prevented the crash. Ironic, right, everyone? They were installing something to fix the automated signals that could have warned passengers the passenger train to stop before reaching the switch, sending it down the sidetrack, were turned off as workers installed a GPS-based system called the positive train control, which everyone's like bitching about, like, oh, why did that first train crash? We could have had positive train control. Well, yeah, you try to install positive train control. Look what happens. You cause another crash. The answer is clear to the play more rail simulator on Steam. Federal investigators said a locked manual switch forced the passenger train onto the side train when an empty freight train was parked after having offloaded its cargo nearby. That sucks if you're CSX, by the way. Like, we're just minding our own business, and we just got plowed into by the back, and no one cares about our train, right? Because everyone who's dead or injured was on the Amtrak train. Like, it wasn't our fault. You hit our train. But now CSX is like, oh, now we got to buy a new train? It's okay. I'm sure they have train crash insurance. Train crash insurance. Got some good news. Tinder can't charge older users more for premium services, the California court rules. I didn't even know that I was overpaying. So that's interesting. I learned that from this article. Tinder can no longer charge higher rates to users aged 30 and over after a California court ruled on Monday that the practice was a form of age-based discrimination. Tinder Plus, a premium version of the free dating service app Tinder, violated state rights, civil rights laws by charging users who were aged 30 and over $19.99, while at the same time charging users under 30 only $9.99 or $14.99. According to the ruling handed down by the Second District, the pricing had been in place since its release. Wow. Plaintiff Alan Candledore filed the suit in February 2016, alleging that Tinder Plus's price difference violated the state's UNRRA Civil Rights Act, which broadly outlaws discrimination based on sex, race, sexual orientation, and age, among other classes. According to the suit, Tinder's rationale for the price difference is reasonably based on the market testing, showing younger users are more budget-constrained than older users and need a lower price to pull the trigger. Okay. I'm fine. I'm not like, oh my God, that's stupid. First of all, if I'm the guy going court suing Tinder because they're charging me too much, I got to get on Tinder more. Like, I got to be doing more stuff with my life than going to court. No matter what Tinder's market research may have shown about the younger users' relative income and willingness to pay the service as a group as compared to the older cohort, some individuals will not fit the mold, blah, blah, blah. So that's how it works. They're saying, okay, we've got these price tiers, and so that's discrimination. However, if they'd said, oh, the price is $19.99. However, if you're under 30, it's only, we give you a $5 discount if you sign up. And if you're under 25, we give you a $10 discount if you sign up. That's not against the law. That's a discount because you're not putting someone at a disadvantage for being older. You're giving a discount for being younger. Just like if you're 65, you can go get those pancakes for 99 cents because you're a senior, right? That's why the law is so stupid, because you can just circumvent it if you word everything correctly. Espresso D says, wow, next thing you know, you may not swipe left based on gender or age. Right, that's discrimination, of course. If you don't have sex with everyone, that's discrimination. First of all, I don't swipe left based on gender or age. I swipe left only if they are black or Asian. This has been the news show. Thanks for coming out, guys. Chilling in the chat, listening to Rescue 911. You guys want to watch another one? No. But head on over to YouTube, watch Rescue 911. You'll be watching all night. They are so exciting. All right, anything else we need to cover? I don't think so. Let's check CNN real quick, see if anything big has happened. The Dow did drop a lot, and it looks like the shutdown is coming again. You guys checking on Bitcoin? It is quite annoying to lose so much money every single day I wake up. Oh, yep, so good. We're down another ton of money since earlier this afternoon, dropping through 7,700 now. Didn't ever think that that was possible, did we? Well, oh well. Easy come, easy blow, as they say on Tesla's rocket. All right, see ya, bye!